Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back to the program. Thank you for joining us here on 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Stem cell research at the University of Michigan has been drawing attention from Lansing lawmakers who want to know all the details of ongoing embryonic research, but now research using adult-derived stem cells at the university is making some major strides towards effective therapies. To talk about how far things have advanced, I'm joined by Jorg Lahan, an associate professor of chemical engineering and biomedical engineering, and the creator of a polymer gel that is now allowing for further use of adult stem cells. Jorg, thank you very much for joining us here on 1320 WILS.
Hi, Michael.
Now, the use of embryonic stem cells has been, of course, a very heated political issue. So if you could briefly explain the difference between an embryonic stem cell and an adult stem cell and how they differ in their use in research and therapies.
Well, fundamentally, we are talking about pluripotent stem cells. And pluripotent stem cells are those stem cells that can really differentiate in any other type of cell that exists in your body. And so that's, of course, very important for things like regenerative medicine, where you'd like to ultimately maybe replace a artificial liver or something like this after the fact that, you know, you had some accident or something like this. And so really, with respect to pluripotent stem cells, so far the only opportunity we had was working with embryonic stem cells. And since a few years, only like a few years ago, people have learned how to actually take patient-specific adult cells and then start reprogramming, basically modifying them so that they become also pluripotent stem cells, meaning that they, again, can differentiate into the different cell lineages. And so that's the name for this, or the scientific name for this, is induced pluripotent stem cells.
I see. Now, this polymer gel you created, how has that changed your ability to do research with these adult stem cells?
Michael, see, there are a number of issues with this induced pluripotent stem cells, one of which is that in order for us to reprogram them, we still have to use viruses and things like that. So there are safety issues right now. Another big issue is how we culture them. So how can we actually expand those induced pluripotent stem cells and make a large number? And so the expansion in the past typically has involved animal-derived components. So people, researchers would use basically something called matrigel, which is really a material that is harvested from mice, from tumors of mice, and the composition as well as the use of this is not very well defined. And we were able to replace some of those components, some of the substrates, really with completely defined polymers, and still get the same kind of result that you could get with this non-defined animal-derived components. And so that's very important because you want to actually culture and expand those stem cells in a defined environment to be able to use them ultimately in the future in a clinical setting.
Well, how quickly do stem cells expand then typically now?
This is actually really difficult. So they don't expand that quickly as you would think. So it may take typically 6 to 7, 8 days to basically turn them over and be able to passage them from one dish, so grow them up into the size of a dish and then passage them into the next one. So this is actually a big challenge to expand stem cells to the quantities that you would need ultimately in a clinical setting. Now, the good thing is with this induced pluripotent stem cells, and this is really important, is that you can actually derive them directly from the patient potentially. So this could be patient-specific induced pluripotent stem cells.
And so how would it work exactly then? You need to get a certain number of cells so they can effectively work as a therapy, and it would be and then injected into a patient, and then they essentially would spread and replicate and make up for the cells that are dead or not working?
No, not exactly like this. So basically what you would do is you can take skin cells, basically, so-called fibroblasts, from the patient. You basically then reprogram them to become pluripotent again. But then before you inject them, you want to fully differentiate them into this new tissue that you'd like to replace, let's say cartilage or bone or something like that. And only after they are completely differentiated into that tissue, you can bring them back into the body.
I see. Now, is the potential there to actually create full organs or body parts outside the body and then implant them?
I mean, that would be wonderful, but I do think there are a number of important challenges that are still ahead of us before we can even contemplate this kind of uses. One has to do with, as I mentioned, with the safety and the fact that we still use viruses to reprogram them. Another one has to do with the expansion, and so that's where I think our polymers have the chance to play an important role here.
I'm talking to Jörg Lahan, an associate professor at the University of Michigan of Chemical Engineering and Biomedical Engineering. When you talk about safety, just how dangerous can things get, and what are the primary concerns there?
Yeah, but the primary really concern has to do with the use of viruses to reprogram those cells, and then the question whether those would be, once the cells would be in the body, what they would do. So ideally, we'd like to replace those viruses with vectors that are safe. But this is work that's really cutting edge. So like only a few years ago, researchers have learned how to actually derive those induced pluripotent stem cells. And I'm comfortable that over the next 5 to 10 years, we'll be able to really learn how to use them and ultimately move towards real use for patients.
Now, you say viruses are being used to reprogram the cells. Are there any other ways to reprogram a cell other than that?
Yeah, I mean, in theory, yes. In practice, this is really like how people are doing it right now, but there are options. One could imagine to use alternatives such as protein or peptide vectors and things like that, and that would be, of course, safer. But this is really at the forefront of research, and I think we have to see this has to be realized first.
So what are the challenges now, though, when it comes to actually expanding the cells? Are they simply a lot of times just dying, or they're simply not able to expand at all?
Well, I mean, so you can expand them. You basically create an environment that if you don't use our synthetic hydrogels that we developed, then you have essentially contaminants in that environment. There's not the possibility that those cells then are contaminated with the components that are coming from the mice derived or the animal derived components that you added to it. And so there is basically an undefined medium or environment that then restricts the kind of usage you can do with those cells. So that's one of the issues. If you really don't put them, if you put them into the wrong environment, then they will just simply die. That's exactly right. Or they differentiate into undefined cell populations, and then you can't use them anymore.
So when it comes to the research, are we at a point now where there's evidence of stem cells being injected into animals, and there's actually an effect that's seen?
The effect is seen clearly. If you inject stem cells in animals, you would see that. But I think we are a long way, we are still several steps away from using them in humans. And I think there are important problems that we have to address before we can do this. But again, looking back just a few years ago, we didn't even know that there's the possibility to create those induced pluripotent stem cells from adult cells. And so the only source we had were really embryonic stem cells. And so I think we're moving, and I think the field is moving, and the University of Michigan here is really cutting edge in this area. And I think next few years we will see some progress.
Are you saying that we're pretty much getting to the point where we won't be using embryonic stem cells for research, and we'll simply be using just adult stem cells?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go that far. I mentioned before, there are a number of important issues still with induced pluripotent stem cells, but clearly there's a driving force to move towards pluripotent stem cells that are not embryonic, they don't have no embryonic origin. And I think there's a path forward, but I don't think we're completely there yet.
But ultimately, you're saying that you could end up using your own stem cells for therapy. Would that be preferable then to using embryonic stem cells, obviously, for somebody else?
Yes, I think that would be preferable, clearly, if we can overcome those challenges. And I think ultimately we probably will do that as a field. Then I think that would be the ideal case.
For actual therapies used on humans, what would your timeline be? What would your guess be as to how early we'll actually see effective therapies that aren't available now?
This is a very different question, of course, because there's still fundamental scientific breakthroughs we have to solve before we can get there. So it's hard to predict. But I would think, given the pace that the field right now has and like the excitement that is actually in this field, I think maybe in the next 5 to 10 years we might see some major breakthroughs towards like more regenerative use of pluripotent stem cells.
Is the U.S. and Michigan, are we at the cutting edge of stem cell research, or is that happening in other places in the world?
No, I think the U.S. is very well positioned. I think specifically the University of Michigan is actually has some researchers absolutely that are working at the cutting edge. And some of my colleagues in the medical school, Gary Smith, Paul Kratzbach in the dental school, these are all researchers that are working right at the cutting edge.
Jörg Lahan, University of Michigan Associate Professor of Chemical Engineering and Biomedical Engineering. Jörg, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much, Mike.
When we come back, we're going to talk about... Well, we're going to talk about spirituality, what it means exactly. An author of a new book says he's got a whole new way to get there, and I'll try to figure out what that is. That's next. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.